How about it? Welcome into 49ers Live. I'm Joe Fan. He's Ted Robinson. And for the first time in 2017, it's Victory Monday. Ted, it's a beautiful thing. 31-21 over the New York Giants. 1-9 isn't pretty, but it's a whole lot better than 0-10. And it's an exciting day for all involved. It's exciting to be here to break it all down.
I'm just envisioning, Joe, that your celebration last night mimicked what we just saw in that locker room.
I took a Gatorade.
Come on, Joe. Inquiring wine.
Right over on top of my own head. No one came to me. I gave myself the Gatorade.
That's what I thought.
Because why not?
Well, I'd say this, Joe. We've heard for several weeks in a row that faint praise. It's the best 0-6 team. It's the best 0-7 team. It's the best 0-8 team we've ever seen. And no one really wants to hear that. I will say that is the best 1-9 celebration I have ever seen. That's great.
Joe Staley said postgame, it felt as good as it did to win the NFC Championship game. And obviously for much different reasons. Mm-hmm. But you put in all the work for 9 straight weeks to lose those games. And I think we were just talking about it before going on here that those 5 straight games decided by 3 points or less, a lot of those were really ugly football games, field goal fests, not a lot of scoring. Yesterday's game passed the eye test. And let's check out the highlights as we dive in here on 49ers Live. What a day it was from Levi's Stadium. A perfect November afternoon at Levi's Stadium. Niners hosting the Giants. Here's the first play from scrimmage, and it's Carlos Hyde. He goes left, cuts it back. Go get him, CJ! Lead blocker! Getting him extra yards, late head out of bounds, tack on 15 more. That led to a Robbie Gould field goal. The 49ers had their first lead since the Arizona game way back in, what was it, week 4? Here we go. New York Giants get the ball now, just after a 49ers turnover, and Ronald Blair gets it back. Super Blair with his first of 2 sacks on the day. Eric Reid recovers the loose ball. The 49ers take over. The defense bent but didn't break all day. Here's on 3rd and 8. Carlos Hyde with a fantastic pickup. C.J. Beathard airs it out, and Marquise Goodwin is off to the races. 83 yards to the house. More on this play to come. An emotional day for Marquise Goodwin. Here is the replay, Ted, and this is all made possible by Garrett Celek and Carlos Hyde picking up the pressure.
Well, that's been a spot that we've addressed this year, and I think we'll show it a little closer later on, Joe, that was what was it reflective of the day. Did C.J. Beathard get hit yesterday, by the way?
Twice. Here's Garrett Celek making Janoris Jenkins miss in the open field, 47 yards to the house just before halftime. Longest career reception for Garrett Celek. A huge block from Marquise Goodwin there. Whoop! Shook him. He left his jock in the grass. And it's Garrett Celek for a long touchdown. The 49ers wouldn't look back. Here's a huge hit by the rookie. Adrian Colbert making his first career start. Eric Reid says, no penalty for you. Get out of here, young fella. 3rd and 2. 49ers went 8 of 12 on 3rd down. Here's one of those conversions. It's an 11-yard touchdown run from C.J. Beathard. Dives across the goal line. His 3rd touchdown run of this season. Now it's 24-13. Matt Breida about to make it 31. Incredible vision on this run all the way to the goal line. 33 yards out for the rookie. And here it is. The highlight of the day, Bradley Pinion. He's punting for the first time in the middle of the 4th quarter. Usually the busiest man on the team. He had a nice, easy day in the best formation in sports. That's the victory formation, folks. C.J. Beathard takes a couple of knees. And Kyle Shanahan, that man right there, has his first win as an NFL coach. C.J. Beathard has his first win as an NFL starting quarterback. The San Francisco 49ers have their first win in 2017. Ted, that was fun. I enjoyed that.
Well, look at that. 474 yards. By far the most in a game this season. They scored, 49ers scored more points against the Rams. They had more yards yesterday. But what was so sweet to see were the explosive plays, the explosive pass plays. You just saw the big one to Marquise and to Celek.
7 explosive plays
Lewis
yesterday.
The Kyle Shanahan scheme showed yesterday what we saw early in the year, and we'd kind of lost it for a few weeks here, largely, I think, injury-driven, that if you can protect the quarterback a little bit, if you give the quarterback time, there's going to be open people. Lewis Murphy, which Kyle Shanahan openly talked about during the week, was not in football shape, couldn't play a ton of snaps, but he's wide open on a draw play for a 40-yarder. Matt Breida was the dagger touchdown run in the 4th. Carlos had a big run. That was, to me, the best part of the day. Was a win, yes, but a win with offense. I think that's what made Kyle Shanahan's smile made him feel good, made the players feel so happy, and energizes the fans, is a win with offense.
Yeah, a win with offense and at home, I think, was so needed. I think you look at the 49ers, much of those close games early on in the season, those were all away from home. 49ers have really struggled, especially offensively here at Levi's Stadium. And they put on a show yesterday. Again, 474 total yards. C.J. Beathard, completions to 8 different receivers. He was fantastic. Obviously, the interception was the one blemish, but 19 of 25 through the air, 288 yards, 2 touchdowns, 123.4 rating. He was fantastic. And amid all of the we want to see Jimmy Garoppolo talk, he's been unflappable.
Well, Joe, that play, the Goodwin touchdown, Kyle Shanahan in his office, all coaches do, they have some tape logged up. He has tape of that play, that Goodwin touchdown play, that was dialed up other times this year, and they couldn't pull it off largely because they couldn't protect either Hoyer or Beathard long enough to let the play unfold. And that was what made that play, and we'll show that again when we get a chance. That's what made that play work yesterday, was it was probably the best designed pass protection for the 49ers on any pass play this year, and it winds up being an 83-yard score.
Let's get into some of that film review. Ted, I know you want to dial up those touchdowns and give it a closer look. So let's head back to that 83-yard touchdown. Here it is, Ted. You take it away on what you're seeing here and how this play becomes possible.
So look at the scheme, and first of all, we'll say, okay, here's Garrett Celek lined up alongside Carlos Hyde. But watch the New York Giants, and the blitzers are going to come from right there. Jonathan Casillas and Landon Collins, linebacker and safety. And what they're going to do, those two are going to come right up in here, and they're going to be met square on by Carlos Hyde and Garrett Celek. So don't watch C.J. Beathard. Watch those four people here and see how this play develops. And this is just a perfect alignment for the 49ers, and boom, there it is. Head on, Celek takes one, Hyde takes the other, and that clean pocket allows C.J. to step up and deliver this ball to Goodwin. So it's a fabulous emotional moment for Marquise Goodwin, as we've all learned since. And this, but here's the best look at it now. Again, to watch Hyde and to watch Celek, this is going to give you the best look at right there. I mean, that is just, that's textbook.
That's textbook.
And now the play unfolds at the end, and the story that we've all learned since about Marquise Goodwin, Joe, the emotional day he had yesterday, we didn't know this. His teammates did. There were some reactions. You saw Kendrick Bourne react when the pass was thrown. Some of his teammates knew the story about Marquise and his wife. They lost a child in birth before the game. Marquise came back and played the game and then was immediately taken with an escort to the hospital right after the game here from Levi's Stadium to be with his wife. It's extraordinary. And that explains the depth of the emotion that we saw from Marquise after this play.
Yeah, I can't certainly try to relate to what he's feeling. I know there was a moment in the locker room, and I know Kyle Shanahan will talk about it in his presser today at 4:30, but a powerful moment, something that really shows how sports can bring people together. I know that his team needed him, and he needed his teammates yesterday, and what a moment for him and his family to have that.
And now watch this. So here's Marquise Goodwin. All right, this is Marquise Goodwin, who's going to throw every crazy block here. And after the game, when Garrett Celek, as you see Marquise, he'll be running out here, but eventually is going to throw one heck of a block. It's a little past that line I just drew. But it's going to free Garrett Celek at the last for this touchdown. And when Garrett Celek was on our radio postgame show after the game, he talks right there. There's your block.
Woo!
And Garrett Celek, by the way, where'd that move come from?
He told me post-game he blacked out, so he's not sure what he did.
Yeah.
But it was nice.
This block, and Marquise got shaken up a little bit on this block, but it was worth it. Darian Thompson, who's a big safety, just cleaned. And I thought it was wonderful because Garrett Celek gave Marquise all the credit with that block. And so the two plays combine. Goodwin touchdown run, Goodwin here with the block. And again, that's textbook, right, Joe? I mean, you love to see wide receivers downfield, and sometimes you get flagged. You'll see, I think there was one yesterday where you get flagged for holding on those run plays because they get a little exuberant with that edge blocking, but when it's done perfectly like that. And I'll say one other thing, and if it was a subtlety after the Goodwin touchdown catch, the length of his pause in the end zone, it wasn't a celebration, and that's very significant because there's a new rule in the NFL this year. And if you watch and it shows up on the TV tape of that catch. As soon as Marquise Goodwin crosses the goal line, takes a knee in that end zone, a 40-second clock starts running. And that's a new rule this year, and it's designed to prevent long end zone celebrations. So now watch that play again on the TV tape. Watch what happens when Robbie Gould kicks the extra point after Marquise Goodwin's long touchdown catch. There's 1 second on the play clock when that ball is snapped. And my point is, that's wrong. And it's not intended. It's an unintended consequence of this new rule, because there was no celebration by Marquise Goodwin. It was clearly an emotional, significant moment for him. It was nothing offensive about what they were doing in the end zone. So that needs to be addressed by the competition committee. And I understand this is a brand new rule. They can't think about every possibility when they put this rule in place. But yesterday was the massively unintended consequence. It's the second time it's hurt the 49ers this year. It was the Rams game here on Thursday night. There was another one where the team wasn't prepared yet for this new rule and had to take a timeout, if you remember, when the comeback against the Rams in the fourth quarter. That was an unintended consequence, and it almost cost them a delay of game penalty. Thankfully, Pinion was able to recognize that and got that ball snapped for the kick, which is 1 second on the clock.
Ted, how about the running game? You've been calling for more rushing attempts, more rushing attempts, more rushing attempts. Carlos Hyde, 17 for 98. Matt Breida, 9 for 55. We've seen the touchdown. We saw Carlos Hyde's 28-yard run. And again, game script has a huge part in that, right? You score first, you can create that lead, you can sustain your lead, and it allows you to run the football. You get ahead of the sticks on first and second down, set up third and manageables. They were 8 of 12 on third down. It all plays a part. It all is intertwined. But you must have loved seeing that 1-2 punch yesterday.
Well, this was great. I was really – well, Matt Breida – two things. First of all, Carlos ran really hard. You saw that in the first quarter. One of his first runs was the vintage Carlos cutback run. It might have been the first run play of the game, right? And we've seen Carlos in his first couple of years shred teams with that cutback run. Well, the Giants adjusted, and they were ready for the cutbacks against the grain runs after that, and Carlos was still able to pick his way, find holes, and run hard on a play like that. That's the vintage Shanahan run. Stick your foot in the ground, make that one cut, and go. And what I was really happy, though, Joe, to see Matt Breida, and there was a run in the second half where Matt Breida was trying to run outside left, and he got hit, and he didn't get hit really hard, but he went down. And it was kind of that moment where you go, well, that's a rookie, and, you know, contact in the NFL, man, you're not going to survive if you can't run through a little bit of contact. And the next possession in that fourth quarter drive, Matt Breida came back and ran really hard, three or four carries, culminating with the touchdown. And I think that was an impressive, because it was clearly an adjustment by him. And here's the run we're talking about. This is the dagger shot. But after that hit where he went down kind of easily and he's had that ball security issue that we've talked about, he came back and ran really aggressively in that next fourth quarter drive.
Carlos Hyde, he said in our one-on-one a couple weeks ago, everybody eats in the running back's room. And yesterday, that was true. Both those guys ran really well. Matt Breida saying yesterday, and he owes all of his success to Carlos Hyde. They really have a great relationship, and it was exciting to see them both play so well yesterday. You talked about a little bit in terms of the unknown receivers. Lewis Murphy, fresh off the streets. Obviously, he was with the team during training camp and preseason, but he wasn't in game shape.
Right.
Kendrick Bourne's a guy who doesn't have much experience at all. All three of his catches were huge receptions. Most of
his,
them.
His best game.
I think they were all third and long. Mm-hmm. So he has, what, three catches for 42 yards. Again, all of them converting on third downs. Eight different receivers caught a pass yesterday. That's spreading the love. That's a lot of guys chipping in what was a complete team win.
Yeah, and it all, to me, I mean, this is going to sound simplistic, but I truly believe it all starts with protection. C.J. Beathard yesterday, and there was some concern because you still have Jason Pierre-Paul on one end for the New York Giants and Olivier Vernon, who was a guy the 49ers looked at in free agency a couple of years ago, but the price tag went excruciatingly high for him. But Olivier Vernon's a man. I mean, he's a huge pass rusher. You have those two guys on the edge, you're a little concerned. But, Joe Staley is back. And that moves Trent Brown onto his right side. And suddenly your tackles are anchored. And don't you feel better about the offensive line when you see 74 on one end and 77 on the other? But what a difference, again, for C.J. Beathard. After the Philadelphia game 2 weeks ago, when I was literally concerned about him getting off the field healthy. And, Arizona game, they hit him a ton, especially
times.
Up the middle yesterday. How clean was that for him?
From 16 hits and 5 sacks to 2 hits and 0 sacks, that's an incredible improvement. And it is comprehensive. It's not just the offensive line. It's the tight ends. It's Carlos Hyde, as we've seen the huge pickup he had.
And I would say this, Joe, too.
I mean, it's a complete effort.
Yeah, it is. The Giants didn't blitz as much yesterday. I think that struck us a little bit. They blitzed, and, of course, we showed the big pickup on the home run hit to Goodwin. They didn't rush extra people as much as we have seen previous teams do that, and I think that caught us by surprise.
But you're curious. How much did it change when you give up an 83-yard bomb? How much does that change what you're doing? Kyle Shanahan's point of emphasis this week was, we're not making people pay for bringing pressure. This offense is being blitzed more than any other offense I've ever coached. But
we're
not making them pay. Well, there you go. You make them pay. All of a sudden, you think differently about sending an all-out blitz and leaving no one over the top to defend one of the fastest receivers in the league. And so who knows how that might have changed the Giants' game plan moving forward when you get that early long touchdown and you're continuing to get those huge chunk plays in the passing game. The running game gets going. You're converting on third down. I mean, really, it was, like you said, it was the first time we've gotten to see Shanahan where it felt like he's in a rhythm as a play caller. He knows what play to call, when to call it, and the players execute it. And they did it consistently. We've seen flashes of this in almost every game, but at no point have we seen a complete offensive performance through four quarters. Real quick, defensively, there were quite a few, 374 yards for the Giants. I think it was kind of one of those bend but don't break days, leaving them with field goal attempts and clutch stops, only a couple of touchdowns. One of them was in garbage time for the Giants. What did you make of
well,
what
right
was
here, this play, Joe. Elvis Dumervil, and I don't have the total snap count in front of me, but it felt like he played more yesterday, and I don't have the data to back this up, but it felt like he played more yesterday than in previous games. And there's a sack. They forced a turnover earlier. Elvis Dumervil made his presence felt yesterday. I thought that was a real positive off the pass rush side because you still don't have Aaron Lynch playing. Solomon Thomas, I hope, is back for the Seattle game coming up in 2 weeks. But Dumervil was big, and I think the other guy that just jumped out, and we saw one hit, you pointed it out, Joe, was Adrian Colbert. Adrian Colbert? I mean, here's a position that the 49ers have felt so secure in with Eric Reed, Kwaski Tart, and Jimmy Ward. Well, now two of those three are down. So Adrian Colbert, a seventh-round draft pick, gets a chance. Adrian Colbert looks like a player.
He's
like
fast.
A real player. And we were talking, Tim Ryan and I were talking about this on radio yesterday. He has a little bit of guys that played really well here. Deshaun Goldson back, and Adrian Colbert has more speed. He hits like Goldson. He wears the same number as Goldson, but he's got more speed than Deshaun. And then, of course, the hitting reminds you a lot of Dante Whitner and the tone set. Now, again, this is an era in football. We have to be very, very careful about the hits. And we're not glorifying violence. That's not the point. But it's a physical game. And the tone you set at that position is significant. So, Adrian Colbert, to me, yesterday was the standout. He was the player that elevated his status in this organization to be the most on defense yesterday.
Yeah, really good week for Miami. What do you think?
No.
There's nothing good about it.
Nate, stop this. Will you please, Nate?
I got Notre Dame surrounding me, and it wasn't a great weekend for my Huskies either, so I can't. Yeah. I don't have a stone to throw. But it was good to see
you.
And you love.
You know, by the way, there were two Husky fans during the game or during the pregame yesterday. I walked down the field, and there were two fans sitting right behind the end zone from the side from which the 49ers come on the field wearing Husky shirts. And I walked up to them, and I said, man, are you guys going to win the Apple Cup? He goes, gosh, we have to. It's the whole year. They're spoilers. The Huskies are going to be spoilers.
Yeah,
well, that's not supposed to happen.
It wasn't great.
No.
Ted.
And Washington Notre Dame. We had our ticket set for the semifinals in the Rose Bowl. We had it set.
I regret bringing it up.
I know. Me too. I regret you bringing it up.
I love though. He delivers the huge hit. It's on third down. Yeah. It brings on the punt team. And as a young player who is an emotional guy, you make a big play. You want to you're feeling yourself a little bit. Your first gut is to kind of stand over the guy a little bit. And out of nowhere comes Eric Reed, who hits Adrian Colbert just about as hard as he hit the other guy, say, get going. Yeah. Get out of here. There's not going to be a penalty on this play. Go celebrate with the fans and let our punt team get back to our offense. So there's not much else to add for me other than I loved that it passed the eye test. So many different people played a part, and it was convincing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that game, a 10-point margin, 31-21, is not indicative. I mean, that was a drubbing, in my opinion. You score 21 unanswered. You held them scoreless from the second quarter all the way until a minute left in the fourth quarter. That's impressive. Mm-hmm. And say what you will about the Giants and their struggles. You're an 0-9 team, and you do that to another NFL team, that means something.
I would add one postscript, and it's courtesy of Garrett Celek again. And Garrett came on our radio network postgame show. And after talking about his play and talking about the block Marquise throws for him here on this play, I won't get tired of watching that in the film room. But something else, Garrett.
Jenkins will.
Yeah, exactly. Garrett Celek said something else at the end that I thought was really telling. And here's a guy who's been there. Garrett Celek's one of the few people left from the championship year / Super Bowl team here. And Garrett Celek said to us, this is the closest he's ever been with teammates. Think about that. This is a 1-9 team, a lot of turnover, even during the course of this season. And he said, I've never felt closer to my teammates here than so far this year. And you saw the reaction at the beginning of our live here from the locker room. You saw it on the sideline in the last minute yesterday. And all of the things that we say, I know it's very easy for what we when we talk about these things, the attitude that we see every day in the practice field, the locker room, Joe, you live it. It's very easy for people to roll their eyes and go, oh, there you go again, just talking about this feeling good when you're 0-9 thing. I get that. Watch what the players do and listen to what the players say. That's what's significant. You didn't hear that very much from the New York Giants, for example, last week. They had a horrible week at home, and they came back yesterday, and to their credit, the Giants played harder here yesterday than they had on their home field the previous week against the Rams. But when you hear the 49er players say that this is the incredibly close team.
Everybody, from Joe Staley to all the rookies.
And this the scene you showed at the beginning here, Joe, from the locker room, that speaks louder than anything we can say. I've never been in 1,000 years, right, Serena? 1,000 years in sports. I've never been around a team that has this record and has this kind of vibe. It just doesn't happen in sports. So it doesn't guarantee playoffs or Super Bowl down the line, but it sure feels a lot better than this team was 1-9, and I hate to say it, was 1-9 last year. It didn't feel anything like this last year.
And credit to Kyle Shanahan for keeping the locker room. I mean, that's not an easy task. And another team that flew back to New York last night is dealing with some of those rumors and whatever, and that's a tough situation. And it comes with the territory of being a bad football team. And the 49ers, as you could tell, have by no means quit on their coach, their coaching staff, and each other, which is very encouraging. We had a couple questions. The bye week is ahead. Players going to get spread all over the country, get some vacation time, go see friends and family, obviously. Some peace of mind having a win under their belts now. Jason wants to know if Kittle and Taylor are on track to come back after the bye. I'm guessing Shanahan will give us some information on that at 4:30. We don't know at this point. Yeah. I don't think either of the injuries were thought to be too serious, and so given the extra week of rest, you would assume those two and then Solomon Thomas as well would have a chance to come back at home against the Seahawks. Anything to add to that?
Well, I talked to Trent. Actually, Trent Taylor was on the practice field last week, and he was running around in sweats, and he was trying to catch some passes with one hand, just being thrown on the side by staff members, nothing on the field with the players at all. But I think there's a shot that he could be back for the Seattle game. He just said it was a cumulative thing for him. He had felt it. It had been growing, and then something happened. There was one particular play in the Arizona game where he just got up, and he said, that was now that's too much. Anyone who's had a rib understands that. Too much to go through. So, and I think Kittle, I think there's been a concern with George, as it is for all rookies, that there's that wall. And the 49ers, we talked about this here, Joe, a couple of weeks ago when Juszczyk was out. George Kittle was trying to run him at fullback and have him be a lead blocker. And they're asking George to do a lot of things for a rookie with a high snap count. And I have a feeling a little bit of this is just a back off for George Kittle, just to give him a couple of weeks to catch himself.
For a guy who missed a lot of time in the preseason as well in training camp with that hamstring injury, right? You don't get, you give yourself your bye that time to get ready for game shape. Ryan wants to know, we'll end with this one, and this is the million-dollar question that we don't have an answer to yet.
Where did Joe party last night?
Yeah.
That's the million-dollar question, right?
I was out by 9:30. I was done, ready to come back for Monday, Ted, ready to get a full night's sleep for 49ers Live. Ryan wants to know, who do you think will start at QB after the bye? Is it Jimmy? Or is it CJ? CJ obviously made a fantastic case for himself to keep the job for the time being. Adam Schefter reported yesterday that the 49ers were going to go with Garoppolo following the bye. Kyle Shanahan was asked that question post-game, and he said, I don't know where Schefter's getting that because I don't have a plan yet, which is probably true. He has no reason to make a decision at this juncture when he's about to get out of town for a couple of days. What do you think? What do you make of the situation?
Well, I felt great. I think every 49er felt great for C.J. Beathard yesterday. I mean, to have that kind of game, I sat with him Thursday, I guess it was, for a while. And I said to him, I could not believe how good he looked for a guy that had been hit as much as he had been. He looked good. He felt good. He sounded good. To have that kind of game yesterday was just very happy for him. Now, the second element of this is just me speaking, but it's pretty clear. You didn't trade for Jimmy Garoppolo to sit him. That's not the point here. The point is playing him. And if your offensive line is back, this is the best offensive line the 49ers have. The best they can put on the field is what they put on the field yesterday. The protection was very good. Again, you didn't trade for Jimmy Garoppolo to sit him.
Ted, big bye week plans?
Basketball. It's college basketball season.
It's the season, okay.
And a little football. So, it's work. But it'll be a Sunday.
You're working.
My tuckus will be on the couch with Red Zone.
There you go.
On Sunday. Next Sunday. I promise that.
Did your tuckus change chairs
halfway
through?
I'm not 4'8". The previous chair, I looked, come on.
Some very advanced chairs.
His
1,000 years in sports hasn't prepared him for that moment. Ted. Enjoy the week, my man. We obviously appreciate the insight, as always. This was a fun one, and it's fun to share with the fans. And from what I could tell, as fans were leaving, I had a couple friends here, and they were like, man, people were pumped.
People
were really excited leaving the building. And record be damned, winning is fun. And it doesn't matter when they come or how they come. But I think yesterday, being at home, everyone getting to share that one was enjoyable.
The other thing on the sideline, at the end of the game yesterday, in that final minute, you saw Kyle get doused with the bucket for the first time, and John,
it was two cups.
It
was two cups of Gatorade. It was a very subdued celebration until they got to the locker room, which I find pretty comical. I actually really enjoy that.
He got a little bit of it on those. So his cups. But who was also down there? Who was in the middle of it? John Lynch. And I think that again is something that shows to me there's a connection and a camaraderie. I'm trying to avoid the famous buzzword. But those things are existing here. It's building and it's growing. And I know 1-9 is not no one is satisfied with that. No one should be satisfied with that. But there's, despite the record, if you can look beyond it in a small way, there's something better. And that's what, to me, what the last minute of yesterday's game showed, what the locker room celebration showed, what Garrett Celek said on our postgame show showed. And it's been a while since we felt that way around here.
Yeah, it's the peace of mind going into a bye week. The knowledge for fans that their team's not going to join infamous company as an 0-16 team. And it's a monkey off the back for John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan as they continue to rebuild this organization. That's all for us. For Ted Robinson, I'm Joe Fan. We'll see you next week. We appreciate you joining us. We're going to leave you with another look at that locker room celebration. Have a great week, everybody.